Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 9th of January, recording at 9:29 p.m. That's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, the highlights of an interesting day. I said it would be interesting. Well, that's about the safest forecast you can make, isn't it? Hardly seen a day that hasn't been interesting. But yesterday I'd mentioned Asia, that Asia's performance against the background of Wall Street's weak performance last night would be very, very interesting. And Asia gets 9 out of 10 here for Bravura. We had a number of upside key reversals in markets that had been under a bit of pressure. We had new highs in markets such as Malaysia and Indonesia, which have been very strong recently, helped by the agricultural commodity gains, plantation shares leading the way in those markets. We had India, I think it might have been down a fraction, but very steady, really right near the highs. China, firm in here today, nice upward day by the Hang Seng Index. And good heavens, even Japan showed a bit of life. So that was really quite interesting. And that led to some early gains, I believe, in the European markets. But those soon gave way as Wall Street turned weak and Wall Street churned a bit. And then I think actually Wall Street had opened up a little bit, then turned weak, then churned, but closed near the highs of the day. Now, the Dow is up 146. That's 1.16%. The S&P up a bit more, and the NASDAQ up a bit more as well. The percentage gains are not that big, sort of 1.36 for the S&P. But when you look at the chart, and I'll be posting some of these later, they closed well off the lows. So it's quite an interesting day at quite an interesting level, excuse me, on Wall Street. Government bonds fairly steady, particularly in Europe. Gains pegged back in the U.S. as the equities rallied. U.S. dollar was firmish in here pretty well all day. Precious metals, which had roared up yesterday and maintained that into early Asian trading, and then gave up some of that ground and came back and closed with modest losses. But gold's, for instance, gold's at 877.80. Now, okay, it had been up as high as 891.70, but lost the price here. Let me find it again. At 877.80, that's only down 35 cents yesterday. It did leave a bit of tail on the upside on the chart, as did the silver market, which had roared up to 1627 for the March contract. Fell all the way back to 1564, closed 1577. That's only down 4.5 in after-hours trading right now, but get a big tail. The platinum and palladium were smaller, but modest declines. The LME markets were all a bit weaker in here today. They caught that contagion selling from the precious, from the Wall Street sell-off. Grains and beans slipping a little in here today, particularly wheat, which has been softer than the others recently. Corn, which has been a tower of strength, down 1.5 cents here today. I'm looking a bit overextended. Okay, what about crude oil? That's down 58 cents as I speak, 95.75. Natural gas a little firmer, though. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, what I think is very, very interesting and something that all investors will appreciate, or all global investors will appreciate if it continues, is the ability of some of these stronger themed markets to uncouple from Wall Street. Now, fortunately, those tend to be fuller money themes for the most part. We have seen the strength of Asia. We have seen the strength of resources markets. We have, I should say, Asia ex Japan, which is the part I'm really interested in. We have seen the Middle Eastern markets. Those Owen's been pointing those out quite frequently. Those have been very strong in here recently. So we are getting some uncoupling. Now, to what can we attribute that? And I think this is an important theme. One is that we have been moving from a unipolar to a multipolar world. That's important. Also, why did these other stock markets fall so rapidly when Wall Street fell? You know the old business, Wall Street catches, or Wall Street sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold. And one of the reasons for that, in addition to moving from unipolar to multipolar, is that the proportion of interest in various overseas markets coming from Europe and the United States has shrunk as a percentage as these economies have, these developing market economies have become much more wealthy in their own right, and as their economies have become much stronger. So chances are that a lot of the people in North America and also in Europe who felt that they really ought to get out of their high-performing Asian stock markets, for instance, had already done so because either they feared the leash effect contagion, or they had to sell just because they were under pressure elsewhere, felt they had to sell. And some of the institutions, some of the banks would have been in that category, perhaps as a capital raising exercise. So they had ample opportunity to sell earlier on, but that seems to be more than offset, I should say, by local interests. For instance, I read the other day that, as far as that in India, that the foreign investors, so-called FIs, had actually sold last month. They were net sellers last month. But local mutual funds were doing very well, and that had kept India firm. We certainly know about the demand for Chinese equities within China, and that's of course a mostly closed market. But they're not worried about what's going on Wall Street. So this is something that forecasters have long looked for, have long pined for, that just never happened. So this really does represent a new paradigm, and there are occasionally new paradigms. Another one is going to be, I'm convinced, the longest commodity bull market of our lifetime. So absolutely, absolutely fascinating in here. Now, I would say, of course, that all the data is not in. What if the Dow Jones fell several thousand more points? That's not a forecast. I don't think that will happen, although it's certainly been under pressure recently, and I'm glad I don't have any investments there. But what we have seen so far is very impressive, not least today. Now, what about Wall Street in here today? I said in the last couple of days, despite the fact that the U.S. looked, the action in the U.S. stock market was terrible, that it was down near some prior support levels, and you're a bit oversold on a short-term basis. But more importantly, because you can get lots of little technical rallies in a overall bearish declining trend, that I do feel that it's inevitable that we're going to see both significant additional monetary stimulation and also a big fiscal stimulus, which will be cobbled together. But of course, the problem is that how long do investors in U.S. equities hold their nerve, whistling in the dark, while waiting to see what actually emerges in terms of these packages? In other words, they've been behind the curve of events, not the investors, of course, but the Fed, as I've said on so many occasions, and I think the Treasury and the White House in terms of coming up with that stimulus. And governments tend to be crisis-oriented. They're viewing this as a crisis, and they are going to act, and it will be effective. The only debatable point, in my opinion, is at what point, at what level. And I think the U.S. has already discounted a fair amount of bad news here overall. Those banks are still pretty weak overall. I'm just going to look at the S&P Banks Index to see just what it did today. Well, didn't offset yesterday's decline, but it's a long way off today's low, and it does look overextended on the downside. So we may have seen Wall Street establish a short-term low here. I think there's quite a good possibility of that it has established at least a short-term low in here today. One swallow does not a summer make, to coin a phrase. So that doesn't mean that I would want to go piling into Wall Street, but I don't think I'd want to be short at the moment here either. More importantly, if we get a technical rally on Wall Street, what will that do for other markets? Well, again, it'll be interesting to see what happens in Asia overnight. Asia did so well today, I would expect some follow through on the upside, given the technical signals that it had in its own right, and it won't have to worry about a Wall Street leash effect if it had previously. And regarding today's action emanating from the U.S., so I would expect Asia to respond, and I would think that some of the markets in the Pacific region that have been hit harder recently, such as Australia, New Zealand, ought to get a little bit of a bounce in here tomorrow as well. Now, and I would expect that to follow through in Europe tomorrow, with Europe doing particularly well if Asia gets some upside follow through to its gains today in the next few hours. As Asian trading commences. If Asia closes firm, in other words, for a second day in a row, I think that will just help these European markets to also stage a rally. So in the Western Hemisphere, it's looked pretty grim. Fundamentally, it's very weak, but it's not quite the end of the world, is it? But my investments are going to stay firmly in the region, when I Fuller Money Themes, rather. I'll repeat that. My investments are going to stay very much in the Fuller Money Themes. If I added anything, whether I do it as a new position in my long-term investment portfolio, or whether I do it via spread bet trade, it would probably be to go for an ETF covering the Brazil market. Since Brazil is in, I've liked Brazil for a long time, although I don't actually have any investments there, but it's very much part of the Fuller Money theme. And there's no country in the world, I think, better positioned to take advantage of this agricultural commodity bull run than Brazil. And it's also self-sufficient in oil, albeit through all that ethanol production that we actually see. And it doesn't face the drought that we see in some other countries. So it's interesting. Interesting story. Remains a very interesting story. That market's gone gangbusters in recent years, but I would not worry overly about that because it had been such an underperformer for such a long time. And I think, again, there are few countries that will perform or are better positioned to perform well in terms of this global resources demand. Okay, looking at the US dollar here, I just think we're going to get more range trading here. I was asked about it today in terms of my view, and I said it's hard. I don't have a high conviction view on the US dollar. I was asked specifically about, I think, the US dollar index. Again, I don't have a high conviction view here. It had fallen too far last month to be really bearish, and it went up enough in terms of a technical rally that sort of corrected a short-term oversold position before spilling over and ranging. I still think there are some core shorts in there, which would hardly be surprising, and the dollar has been a carry trade currency, although there are less carry trades than there were a number of months ago due to some general deleveraging around the globe. But I've said it, I look for a bit further ranging. When the dollar does rally a bit, that does seem to produce a bit of a knee-jerk reaction in precious metals, although they're not quite as slavishly following that as they have in the past. Also, they're not quite as slavishly following, our precious metals are not quite as slavishly following the Wall Street moves as they have when they were in trading ranges previously. Remember, I made that distinction, I think, in an audio or two ago, saying that when they would weaken every time Wall Street faltered, then gold was very much in a trading range and ditto the other precious metals. Since they have resumed trends, they've been more independently minded with their own momentum. And precious metals are a little bit overbought here in the short term. We saw those big tails in here today, so maybe they range around a bit and consolidate. I thought that process had begun a little bit earlier on, and then we had that big move on the upside yesterday. So I would expect the surprises still to be mostly on the upside in precious metals. I think they're going to remain very much in form for the next few months at least, and remain very much in a long-term bull market that could go on for quite some time. But they may, as I say, they may range around here a little bit in the very short term, correcting that slightly overbought condition. Grains and beans. I chopped out my positions today. I feel slightly embarrassed having bought the wheat yesterday and taken a bit of a loss on it in here today and chopped it out. And apologies to any investors who may have tracked that position and be vexed by my actions. Why did I chop it out? Well, I felt the wheat was fairly speculative, said so when I opened that position. And I discovered today that USDA report that comes out on Friday, I've often mentioned that, and that will be interesting. It'll be particularly interesting to see whether the news, which will almost certainly indicate or involve a downward revision of the USDA's previous estimates of the final U.S. crop results. So, in other words, indicating that reserve stockpiles aren't as big as people had previously been led to believe. Now, the question was that all has that or the question remains, has that all been discounted by the moves that we've seen recently, or do the markets spike higher? Well, we've seen such big rallies that I feel, as with any market, there have got to be some risks to the downside. Now, I could have tolerated that if it weren't for the fact that the USDA is going to put that announcement out or going to release that news before the markets open. So, with this widely anticipated bit of data, with all the persistent participation that we've seen in agricultural commodities, there really is a chance that, first we're going to see lots of volatility. I think that's a given on Friday and carrying into next week. And, I don't know whether these markets are going to go limit up or limit down or both. And I thought, well, discretion is the better part of valor. And I'm going to step aside. So I took what was a fairly good corn profit and took the loss from yesterday's purchase in the wheat trades. I don't have any doubt whatsoever that there'll be plenty of opportunities in these agricultural commodities and the grain, including the grains, during the course of this year and a good deal longer. I want to stand on the sidelines here and have my next trade be based really ideally on what I actually see in the charts, an interesting looking technical development, rather than play the guessing game in terms of how markets actually respond to a USDA announcement. That's it, folks. Owen will be in the hot seat doing the audio tomorrow, as I have some other commitments I will be making, including a long board meeting. I will have some small contribution to comment of the day, however. So I'll be back recording on Friday. And meanwhile, I wish you all the best.